In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Dominic said, a man who governs his passions is master of the world. We must either command them or be enslaved by them. It is better to be a hammer than the anvil. If we look into our souls and examine our consciences, we realize that almost all of the sins that we commit, especially those of commission and not omission, but sins that we actually commit, are done from passion. And when we say passion, we're not only talking about sexual passion or anger. We have to remember that fear and sadness are also passions. And we do many, many bad things because of unbridled passion. Even premeditated murder usually proceeds from some passion of anger. The beginning of it is in some passion. The execution of it might be very much according to reason, but the beginning of it is in some passion. Enslavement to passion is the effect of original sin. In the state of original justice, passions were in the absolute control of reason. So when Adam and Eve were created, there was no upsurgence of passion in our souls that had to be controlled or kept under reins. And there is this boiling over of passion within our souls. And again, remember, this can be a passion not only of anger, but a passion of sadness or a passion of fear, which causes us to do things which we would not do according to reason. Now, how do we master these passions? By four means: prayer, humility, self-denial, and obedience. First, prayer, because there is no spiritual life without the grace of God. The grace of God is to the soul what your own life principle is in your body. If you don't have a soul in your body, you're dead. If you don't have the grace of God in your soul, supernatural grace of God, you are in the state of mortal sin. You are dead to God. You are incapable of any act of supernatural life. You cannot please God if you are in the state of mortal sin. You must first repent, go to confession, and reform your life in order to perform meritorious acts. And so prayer is the key to maintaining the life of the soul. Those who pray fervently and perseveringly will eventually confess their sins, have the grace from God to be sorry for their sins. They will have a life of grace. Those who do not pray will lose whatever grace they have and will not regain it. You can always pray, no matter what condition you are in life. You can always pray. If you're thrown into a dungeon that has no windows and they throw away the key, you can still pray. You can still have the most important thing in life, which is your contact with Almighty God and all of the effects that prayer will bring you. For all the things of this life pass away. No matter what importance we place upon them, they all pass away. And the most important thing is the life of the soul, and the way to obtain the life of the soul, which is sanctifying grace, is through prayer. And so prayer is very, very important in the conquest of passion. Humility is the next way in which to overcome passion, since it is the first and most fundamental remedy to the pride of Adam. The first sin was of pride, and so humility is what eats at this pride the most, because it is its opposite. And so we obtain humility by praying for humility, which prayer will bring humiliation. And when we bear humiliation patiently, we do a great deal of damage to the pride, which fans the flames of passion. Very often our anger is a venting of pride. And humble people usually are very modest people and are very slow to anger. Self-denial, mortification, the mortification of the intellect by keeping our minds on supernatural things, spiritual reading. If we think about God, if we constantly think about our last end and how to please God, we will keep under control of reason the passions that rise up in us. But if we stop thinking about God, and if we think about only the things of this world because of distraction, then we will not be able to control passions. The mortification of the will, and this happens by humility and purity of intention, which is to do all things for the greater glory of God. St. Thomas Aquinas said that if we were to think of our last end, every time we did something, our judgment, we would never commit a sin. If we thought, how will this act be judged? We would never commit a sin. But we sin because we fail to compare our passionate acts with their judgment. We look at the here and now, and not at what will come. And we need to mortify our sensuality, mortify our anger by acts of patience, acts of bearing the Holy Cross. And this comes in little ways, even when you drop something or you have to bear up with some of the difficulties of married life or children. Every day, our lives bring the cross. And it is in bearing the little crosses of the day that we will bear the great ones. And we also must temper concupiscence. We must do this at the table. And if we can control ourselves at the table, we will also be able to control ourselves with regard to impurity. Almost everyone who is immoderate with regard to impurity is also immoderate with regard to other forms of sensuality, particularly eating and drinking whatever they please, and not what is in accordance with reason. St. Dominic said, these people who master their passions are the masters of the world. And the reason is that by the conquest of passion, they become completely submitted to the law of God. And for this reason, they are representatives of God in the world, and there is no human law, which would contradict the divine law, that can any way affect them. They are completely God's agents in the world. They are completely free in that sense. They are free from all of their passions, and they are disposed to obey all of the laws of God and of men, because there is nothing in them that draws them away from these things. And so they are the masters of the world. And if they are ignored, they will set the world on fire with their good example. But if they are put to death, as in many cases they are, they will merely glorify God, because their deaths will give greater power to their virtue. And we know that from the martyrs. people who were very obscure by any other consideration, have lasted in the memory of people and in the veneration of people for many thousands of years. And yet their persecutors and their executioners have vanished from the pages of history. We don't even know their names. But a young girl like St. Agnes, for example, obscure in every way, is still the object of the veneration of peoples all over the planet, even though her death occurred almost 2,000 years ago, because of her conquest of passion, her love of God, and her willingness to go to her death rather than to compromise her virginity or her faith. That is such a victory that exceeds the victory of all of the generals put together in the history of the world. The victory of a human being over his passion of fear to go to death rather than to compromise virtue or holy faith. They are masters of the world, as St. Dominic said. So the battle to be free of our passions is the great battle of our lives. We renew it every day when we rise from sleep and fight it the whole day long. Every day is a fight with passion. Things that you would do that you shouldn't do. Look at your whole day, whether it's the passion of lust or the passion of anger or the passion of fear. Thinking things that you should not think, in anger perhaps, being attracted to things that you should not be attracted to because of lust. It's a daily battle, but you must win it. Those who win this battle go to heaven. Those who lose it go to hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.